96. Japan. WFAN.
Kim Jones with you. Big win by the Mets and Wilmer Flores. Lots of baseball and NFL draft talk. Listen, I get that there is some NFL fatigue. I really do. The season never ends. There is no off season, and the draft talk goes on forever. I understand it. But did I mention it's Kim Jones with you? It is Kim Jones with you here till 9. When you're doing a five-hour radio show on a Sunday in the middle of April that feels like February, I'm going to, A, take the calls that we get, and they have exclusively been baseball and NFL draft, and I'm going to play to my strengths, which is the NFL, thanks to my full-time job at NFL Network. But I understand. I wish right now we were talking about great baseball, local teams in, I said plural teams, by the way, in the NBA playoffs. It would be fun. And we just don't have that stuff, guys. We don't. And the draft is a big deal. And it now is at least less than 2 weeks away. So the end is near. Speaking of which, we're going to welcome to the program now to talk about the NFL draft. My buddy Art Stapleton from The Record, NorthJersey.com, I believe. And Art, how are you today?
Hello, Kim. Hey, just think, when the NFL draft is over with, you can talk Knicks coaching search.
There
you
go. How
would you like 5 hours of that?
That's right. That's right. I tell you, it is true, though, Art, that the draft and the lead up to it is almost like a secondary NFL season. It really is.
It is. You know, and it's funny because you and I have had conversations, obviously, off the air throughout the last couple months, the idea of, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with two? I mean, look, this is a special circumstance. I mean, especially with the Jets trading up to 3. To have the Giants and Jets sitting at 2 and 3, you know, knowing the Giants being at 2 and the last time they picked at 2, they picked some guy named Lawrence Taylor. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this whole thing, especially from a Giants perspective, has been going on. It seems like it started in November, where all of a sudden we started looking at where they're going to fall in the draft, and you had coaching change and new GM and everything else. So fatigue was the perfect word that you used, but we all have it. But we're going to soldier on and talk about it and push through, and we'll see what happens in 2 weeks.
Art, when you talk about the Giants and the quarterback situation as they look for Eli Manning's successor, how do you break down the difference in taking a rookie, presumably at 2 overall, or going different position player and saying, we like Davis Webb? What is your take vis-a-vis Webb and the number 2 pick?
It really is, to me, an amazing question, because back at the Combine, I ended up writing a column about how it was Davis Webb versus the class of 2018 quarterbacks. And what I meant by that was the Giants are essentially treating Davis Webb until last Monday, where they finally had him in the building and actually talked football with him, as another draftable prospect. And we know all the stuff about Webb and how he didn't play last year, and we all thought at some point he should have and everything else. But what I'm fascinated by is I think it speaks to the fan base of the NFL in general and fantasy football and drafts and everything else. Everyone, it seems like, is so quick to dismiss the idea for the Giants to take a rookie quarterback and wait to see what you got with Webb. And I know some of that is sentimentality with Eli. I'm just surprised that the Giants, at least depending on who you listen to, would completely dismiss the idea of taking a quarterback, because we know in today's NFL, the benefits of having a quarterback on a rookie contract for 5 years, you can build your entire team around that. And right now, the Giants haven't had that opportunity really ever, because it's a new CBA, the way things work out. So you'd have to go all the way back to when Eli was a rookie, and maybe you started building your roster that way. So I do understand the idea of going away from the quarterbacks if you're not buying any of them, because I do believe that each one of them has flaws. But I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss it just based on the benefits that you could have and where you're picking.
Art, to me, it comes down to if Dave Gettleman and company have conviction about one of the quarterbacks, one that's available at two, the one that the Browns don't take. If they have conviction about that quarterback, I think they have to take the quarterback at two. But to me, the worst thing you could do is say, we have to take a quarterback at two, conviction or not.
Agreed. And I think the conviction is the great word. I ended up speaking recently to Ernie Accorsi about that, and it was really more of his experience than what Dave Gettleman is facing, because, you know, it's funny, you dial up Ernie, and the first thing he says, well, I don't want to talk about what the Giants are going to do, you know, because then everyone's going to think that I talked to Dave. But conviction was the word he used, the idea of having a conviction in the pick. And I don't think anyone, and if anyone is, you don't force the pick. You don't take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. But what if I were a Giants fan, or even if I were in the front office and I'm looking to deal out of that pick, I would have to take a step back and say, okay, we want to deal out of it. Give us everything you got. Give us your entire draft. But then I'd also have some pause and say, all right, wait a minute. We want to get out. Why do we want to get out so quickly from number two? And there are so many teams lining up to get into number two. What are we missing here? Are we miscalculating something about these quarterbacks? So I think a lot of Dave Gettleman's evaluation for this number two pick has to be dotting the I's and crossing the T's and looking at it and saying, okay, we feel this way, but let's meet with them again. Let's see if we were wrong. Maybe we assessed the wrong thing. Maybe we looked at the wrong thing. So I think when they're putting their draft board together, a lot of it is kind of second-guessing themselves before they second-guess anything publicly, and then we'll never hear them second-guess it. But I think that's kind of been their process, making sure that when they pick the guy on draft night, they're picking the right guy.
Art Stapleton of The Record with me, Kim Jones here on The Fan. Art's here for the next 10 minutes. I'm here till 9 o'clock. Art, you know, to me, with the quarterback, when you mentioned like different appraisals and everything else, desperation brings out sometimes the worst in people, sometimes the worst in NFL teams. Sometimes, you know, it works to your advantage to feel desperate and to do something about it. I would say Kansas City fits that mold, moving up boldly last year to get Mahomes.
Yep.
So to me, it could be that different teams are more desperate than the Giants feel to address the quarterback that early and in this draft.
Agreed. And I do think listening to Dave Gettleman, I mean, look, everybody wants to call this, you know, lying season and smokescreen season and, you know, don't believe what people are saying. You know, the reality is I don't think sitting at number two, Dave Gettleman has had to put out smoke. I think he just has to be honest and giving his appraisal, and everyone will just take it as smoke because that's kind of the way things have kind of floated out there. But I know you did an interview with Dave in which he mentioned the gold jacket test and the idea of, you know, teams are desperate, you know, you're coming up and all that stuff. I mean, to me, the bottom line is if you want to go quarterback, running back, defensive end, however, wherever you want to go with number two, if I'm a Giants fan, take away the front office, if I'm a fan, I would think that on that Thursday night, I would want to say, you know what, no matter what else happens around us, we pick the two best players on our board, and that we are guaranteed of getting one of those two players in this entire draft. So with whatever their evaluation says, whatever position it is, if they don't get blown away by a deal, they're coming off with their second best, at worst, their second best player on their board. And quite possibly, if their best player is not a quarterback, it's the best player on their board. And when you go 3-13 and deal with all the problems and issues that have been well documented, that to me is what you have to hope for if you're the Giants. If you're John Maron, Steve Tisch, regardless of player, you've got to tell Dave Gettleman, get the best player on your board. That's it. Period. Get him, we'll deal with it, and we'll figure out how to build a roster around it.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. I think teams in this draft, the best players on their board, not necessarily in this order, would be Barkley, Nelson, Chubb. And not
Agreed.
In that order necessarily. But so I think if you stick to the board and you stick to the gold jacket, I think Dave Gettleman has essentially already told you who will draft. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting. I will say this. At the annual meeting when Dave Gettleman said you don't give up on talent, to me, I took him at his word, and it did not surprise me. And I reported consistently that they were not going to trade Odell Beckham Jr. unless they absolutely got bowled over. So if Gettleman was good on his word there, Art, I have to feel like he's good on his word when he talks about number two.
Yeah, you know, when I talked to Gettleman back at the Combine and then previous times after that, because I was not at the owners' meeting, mm-hmm. but when we've had you know, some get to know sessions with Dave, being able to talk to him since his introductory press conference, because some of us, like yours truly, was not around when Dave was working with the Giants, so I really didn't have much of a relationship with him. And point blank, I asked him, you know, look, Dave, you strike me as a straight shooter, that even if someone asked you a question, that you wouldn't be a great poker player, that you wouldn't be able to bluff your way out of a situation. And I think Gettleman has pretty much shown that. And he kind of laughed and he said, no, I'm what you see is what you get. And sometimes it gets me in trouble, but what you see is what you get. So I think sometimes honesty at this point in time gets misread as, you know, oh, well, they're giving you bad information. Well, that actually works even better, that you're actually telling someone. You know, that's why we always joked with Jerry Reese, the idea of if Jerry Reese came out and said, here's our draft board, nobody would believe him. So he could have given the media his draft board, and we all would have rolled our eyes and said, okay, Jerry, whatever. Just show, you know, we know you're not going to give us anything. And then it could have turned out to be right. So I think Gettleman's a straight shooter. I think there's a possibility that even he hasn't talked to people in the front office about what his true plans are, just because he doesn't want to cheat the process. He said that to me as well about a month ago, the idea of, I don't want to cheat the process. I'm an evaluator. I want to assess the situation, and I can't cheat the process, because what I think in October or November might not be the same as I think on draft night when we're on the phone getting ready to go.
Art Stapleton, just a couple minutes more with Art. I'm Kim Jones with you till 9. Art, what do you think of Pat Shurmur so far?
I like him. You know, I think it, as advertised, I think he has made an effort to be upfront. And, you know, I go back to, we kind of had a round table with Pat at the Combine with really the beat writers, just in terms of, you know, I'll ask me anything you want, and if I can't give you an answer or I don't want to give you an answer, I'll essentially tell you I can't give you an answer. I'm not going to make something up. I think how he handled the Odell situation, I thought was very enlightening. I thought from all I've heard, I know Odell likes Pat Shurmur a lot and was very impressed with what he saw and heard from Pat Shurmur. I do think there's a little bit of an edge there, but it's not it's not trying to be someone he isn't. And I think that's where Ben McAdoo got into trouble last year, is I think he tried to be somebody that he was not. He was comfortable in his own skin, but he wasn't comfortable in what the job asked him to do. I think Pat Shurmur is comfortable in his own skin, and right now he seems to be very comfortable with what the job requires him to do. And I think that's the difference, and I think that will serve Pat Shurmur well. Let's see when things start going haywire and if he has the kind of year. But I think right now Shurmur has done all things well in terms of dealing with players. It'll be interesting to see once we get past this voluntary period what you know, how he handles certain guys. But I think the Odell situation is probably his biggest situation that he's going to deal with. And right now, from everything I've been hearing, that he's done everything the right way.
How do you think that plays out?
You know, ultimately, Kim, you and I have been on the same page with a lot of things. I do think that by training camp, Odell has a new contract. I think that both sides need each other. I think both sides have sent messages. I think maybe the Giants' message was a little louder than what Odell probably was prepared for or expected to hear. Ultimately, I think it was a good sign that he was in the building last week. I don't think anybody's looking for any bouquets. I think he's here. I think we're seeing guys around the league get paid, Jarvis Landry again, and the numbers that you see going to other guys, I think, just reinforce how good Odell is. And I wrote this, and I know I heard you make this comment. People forget how good Odell Beckham Jr. is, because it seems like he hasn't been on the field for 3 years. And I think the Giants know how good he is. I think he knows how good he is. I think other teams know how good he is. So ultimately, I can't see a scenario, if things stay status quo, again, if there's something else going on that we don't know about, then I reserve the right to change my mind. I think he's going to ultimately get a long-term deal here. For numbers, I'm not sure. Maybe total of 90, maybe closer to 100. Maybe his average turns out to be 17.5 and not the 20 that's been reported. I'm not sure. But I do think they will get to some sort of agreement by the time the season comes.
I tend to agree. Art Stapleton, we're going to have fun 2 weeks from now, not this coming week, but the following week. Giants have a voluntary mini camp leading up to the draft. That's new. That's because they have the extra mini camp with the new head coach. And the timing of that mini camp is new, at least from what I can remember. So we're going to have a mini camp with players presumably in the building, including Davis Webb getting a lot of reps along with Eli, of course. And then the draft begins on that Thursday. So that should be fun days and kind of interesting times at the Giants. And we will certainly see you that week.
Absolutely, Kim. It's the Davis Webb mini camp, right? Right up until he gets 3 days to show what he can do, and I'm sure number 10 will be sitting on the sideline going, hey, coach, don't forget about me. I can't be giving up too many reps.
Yep, good point, Art. Art, thanks so much for jumping on today. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Kim, good luck.
You know, and Pat Shurmur did make the point in his conference call last Monday, they can't have Eli throw the ball all the time. Davis Webb is going to get plenty of reps because right now the Giants have two quarterbacks on their roster. And for that mini camp, at least, that won't change. Or at least we don't think it'll change. So two quarterbacks, both of them making a whole lot of throws, including Davis Webb, with all eyes on Davis Webb and really every throw he makes. So it's interesting times for the Giants. Are they win now or are they not? You can say logically they're not. They believe they have to be. John Mara has said they have to be. And I certainly agree with that. The Giants need to get back to their winning ways, need to absolutely get rid of that 3-win season of last year that basically felt like a winless season in many ways.